Amen and amen. Let us now hear these words from the scriptures from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and selected verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be God's people, and God, God's self, will be with them. The very hand of God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new. Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." Then God said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." I saw no temple in that city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings on earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People who bring into the glory and the honor of all, people will bring into it the glory and the honor of all nations. The living word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Saying that this sermon series has been a real treat for Heather and I. For the last 4 weeks, and this is our fifth and final week, we've been trying to answer questions that you all have given to us, from what is the nature of God, how are we supposed to respond to that nature of God, to what is prayer and how does prayer work, to last week we talked about the relevance of the church in 2016. If it did nothing else, this series has certainly sharpened Heather and I's theological thinking and how we go about our preparation jointly together, as we did not always agree on most of the answers to these questions. We often, even in just trying to figure out how to take the many questions that we received from you and create 5 topics for sermons, was its own journey of arguing and disagreements. But we came up with these five questions based on all the questions we received. And we just want to say that if you didn't feel like your question was answered by one of these sermons, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. And we love being in relationship with you in this way. Part of what we do as your pastors is get to be people who help advise you on your spiritual journeys through these tough questions. And part of what you get to do as the congregation that we serve is help us through our journey of misunderstanding and questioning of our own faith and journey. So we get to do that together, and we would love to keep doing that. So if you didn't get to submit a question already, and you still have something on your heart that you've been wondering, send it to Heather or I, and we'll figure out how to have a conversation about that. You can do that, you know, through email, or give us a phone call, or stop by the office. We're generally here in the building every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 1-ish. So that's when we're in the office. So if you want to come by and ask us a question, you're welcome to. So I just want to throw that disclaimer out there, because it's been a real joy, hasn't it, Heather? So we hope that you'll continue to engage us in that way. And we hope to maybe do a series like this again in the future, because it's been really fruitful. But that leads me to today's question. Is heaven real? This question was given to us, or we came up with this question after receiving about 4 or 5 questions that all talked about afterlife and What's the afterlife like? Is there an afterlife? And most importantly, as we all probably wonder at times, do all dogs go to heaven? So I sat down earlier this week with Heather, and I came into her office just deflated and defeated because this is a hard question. I didn't know where to go with it, what to talk about. So I sat down and I said, Heather, and Heather did Heather's thing. If you've ever been in Heather's office, when she gets serious, this is what she does. She's taking a pick on you a little bit. She takes her glasses down like this. She looks up over her computer and says, yes, Drew. Just like that. And so I said, Heather, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And in Heather's great way, she said, well, what do you already know? I said, I don't know much, but I think I know what heaven's not. And she said, well, why don't you start there? In her words of wisdom, what is heaven not? And so, you know, I started to think about that then and said, well, you know, I'm pretty sure that heaven doesn't look like this. If you could play that film for us. I'm pretty sure this is not heaven. Thank you. So I'm not sure that heaven looks like this. In fact, there's a lot of things I'm pretty sure heaven doesn't look like. For example, when I was a child, I used to talk to people about heaven. I know, I was a weird child. So I asked my grandma one day about heaven, and she told me that she thought heaven was a giant state fair. Because in her worldly life, she's never been able to ride carnival rides, and she's always wanted to ride carnival rides. She loves the fair more than anything, but she never gets to have fun at them. So she thinks heaven will be a giant fair where she gets to play on carnival rides. I'm pretty sure, Grandma, that heaven's not going to be a state fair. Another friend that I talked to when I was a kid, I'm telling you, I was a weird kid. I asked our church secretary what she thought about heaven, and she was pretty certain that heaven was a place where we would have jobs. It's a pretty dismal outlook on heaven. And she was convinced that her job would be to be a cloud cleaner for all the angels. And so she used to joke that she was going to clean my cloud someday. And I always, whenever I see her now, I say, hey, Rosemary, my cloud is getting dirty. And she'll remind me she's not there yet. I'm pretty sure that we're not going to have jobs in heaven of cleaning clouds. So I know these things about heaven. I know what heaven's pretty certain it's not going to be like. It's not going to be too heavenly with dogs running around. Although, for the person who asked, do dogs go to heaven? I do believe that all life is sacred, that all life is a gift from God, and therefore, as a gift from God, all creatures return to the dwelling home of God. That is what I believe. You can ask me about that later if you'd like. But I just want to throw that out there for the person who asked about dogs going to heaven. So I don't know that it's going to look like any of those things. And so I started looking at some of the church mothers and fathers and seeing what they said heaven would be. And I stumbled into one of my seminary textbooks, St. Augustine's City of God. It's a horribly boring book. I don't recommend it. But in it, St. Augustine talks a lot about heaven. And one of the things that he says is that heaven is so incomprehensible that our mortal minds can't even begin to fathom what it's like. That a place where it is filled with God's glory all the time is so unthinkable for us that it's not worth the exercise of our brain to try and comprehend it. It's one of those mysteries of faith that we are to just trust in God. He says, God has promised us that there is a place where we will at times be, that when our life ends or when the world ends or when the world ends, that we will reunite with God in this dwelling place that is purely God. Jesus promises this too in John 14 when Jesus says, I go before you to prepare a place in my Father's house. My Father's house has many rooms. If it was not true, would I tell you? Where I am, you also shall be. Something like that. I'm not the best paraphraser of the Bible, but those are close enough. Where I am, you also will be, is Christ's promise for our afterlife. And we have been assured through our journey of life that God is pretty good at coming through on God's promises. God continues to answer our prayers and our and throughout our lives, answering or keeping up the promises that God has made from the beginning of Judaism through Christianity and into the world today, in both in all the faiths that God interacts with. So I'm pretty sure that somewhere there is a place that is heaven, where God dwells, and where we too will reunite with God. That's the one thing I know, that heaven is a place where God dwells, a place where we get to reunite with God whenever our life comes to an end or the world. But John the Evangelist doesn't leave it at that. In John's revelation, John sees a new heaven, a new earth coming to this place. See, heaven is not just a distant eternal hope for us. It's not just a far-off place that we hope to achieve to be admitted into someday. John tells us that heaven is a place that God desires to be right here on earth with us. God wants for each and every one of us to be agents of heaven here and now, that we might usher in God's reign on earth, that we would make this place look like a place that reflects God's glory all the time, that is so unthinkable to us now that when we see it, we will know for fact that it's God's glory, because it's going to be foreign to our understanding now. It'll be so different from what we see and what we conceive to be possible that we will know that it's only possible because of God. It's only possible because of the love of God in our lives and in the lives of people around us. This new heaven is a place that John says there is no more destruction. There is no more pain. There is no more death. There is no more suffering. There's no more injustice. And so to be an agent of heaven is to be somebody who is fighting for justice continually, over and over again, working for peace, loving our neighbors, living in a way that Christ called us to live so that the indwelling of God that is here and now will be so evident to the world that this will become heaven for us, that this will be the place where we will glorify God in all that we do, where walls and barriers that separate are broken down, where relationships are strengthened by communal love for one another, that God's presence will warm all of our hearts. But most importantly, that we will shine and bask in the glory of God all the time. In our church life, there is another promise from God that reminds us of what that possibility looks like. And that's right here at the table. Right here when we come each Sunday on the first Sunday of the month to enjoy this meal, we get a glimpse of heaven. We get a glimpse of our lives. When we taste the bread and taste the juice, we get to feel the love of God rushing into our bodies as a glimpse of what heaven will be like, as a momentary vision or revelation of our own of what it feels like to be surrounded by the glory of God. So when you come to the table today and you partake in the sacred meal, remember that you are having a vision of heaven. And that heaven, while it doesn't look like dogs singing and dancing, and maybe it's not a state fair, and I'm pretty sure we're not going to have jobs, it is real, because it's promised to us by God that there is a time and a space and a place where we will reunite with the divine presence, where we too will dwell with God. So come, taste, see heaven, and be empowered to be agents of heaven in the world, bringing about justice, hope, and peace.